The music of BJ Lederman. That's a bit of Sometimes from his new recording called BJ. He's our guest on this evening's Flipside. You may know him from his theme song work. If you've ever listened to Morning Edition, Weekend Edition, Marketplace, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, I guarantee you know his very incredibly catchy theme songs. But he's got a new record out. It's called BJ. Where did you come up with that?
I came up with that when NPR got in touch with me a couple of months ago after I had actually was going to call this album Natural Public Lederman. And I was basically using NPR's logo. And I've been doing it for 3 years, you know, talking about how we're recording the album. And there's the logo with Natural Public Lederman in their type style on it. And I figured I didn't hear from them for 3 years. Well, I got this call, and they politely asked me not to do it. And I actually had the concept of BJ. Had an exclamation point at one time, you know, like, ta-da, BJ. And my picture, which is all, you know, in psychedelic colors and stuff. And I figured, you know, it was time to cut the cord from the band and cut the umbilical cord and step away one step from Mama Bear. But they've been very nice to me for the past almost 40 years. But anyway, that's how that happened.
How difficult is it to write a full-on pop tune with lyrics and arrangement, everything, compared to, say, writing an actual theme song to make someone else happy?
I actually write songs and play songs and do the rock and roll stuff to satisfy me. In fact, you know, I've been a rock and roller all my life, and I think the truth of the matter is I got into the jingle and theme thing to pay the bills because I never figured out 30 years ago that I should be writing songs and, you know, recording them and going on the road. It's funny, I'm 60 something, and I'm starting to do this now. This is, you know, like a Hail Mary pass to BJ 2.0. They're both different animals. They're completely different animals, but when you're me, it's hard not to write something catchy. I mean, I really have to sit and work hard and think hard at writing something that I purposely don't want anybody to hum. Other than that, you know, there's some theme music that I've written, some cuts that are buried in there in the Morning Edition or Weekend Edition packages, which I could very well, you know, write lyrics to and sing. Maybe just add a loop, a drum loop or something to pump it up a bit. But that's all that is.
This album is so amazing in a number of ways, and it has an element to it that I think, for me personally, is missing on a lot of records these days, and that's like tremendous variety. I mean, the record has so much variety. There's some of like Billy Joel, Stranger, epic pop gems, and then you've got Weird Things with Your yep. Mom on the Answering Machine, and then Bela Flex on there, very short little pieces, transitional pieces. How do you feel about that aspect of the record?
Well, I didn't do that on purpose. The record is varied. I call it, it's a roller coaster ride or schizophrenic in nature. It's very schizophrenic in nature. And the reason is some of these tunes were written 2 or 3 decades ago, and some of them were written just a year ago. You know, it's not a concept album by any stretch of the imagination. And I fell into real lucky situations when I met Bela Fleck at the Leaf Festival here in Asheville a few years ago, and I went backstage and told him about some of these instrumental cuts that I had written in the 80s and recorded totally on electronic keyboards and drums. And he said, "Why don't you send me a few?" And luckily, he picked out 3 that he really liked and invited me to his studio in Nashville to produce them. And, you know, producing Bela Fleck, there's really no producing. You just sit there and watch him do his amazing things. And the backup band for the album is the Randall Bramlett Band from Athens, Georgia. So I fell into a real lucky scene with all that.
Well, it works for me because it keeps, as a listener, it really keeps you guessing what's coming next, and you never know. And it's a lot of fun. In a weird way, it kind of reminds me also of like a Frank Zappa record or a Steely Dan record, where there are just so many curveballs that you can't get safe in your listening.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, the song that I titled Maisie's Song about my dog, actually, you know, sung from the point of view of Maisie, is my best low Frank Zappa voice. My name is Maisie, and I'm BJ's dog. And we're making that into a music video right now.
Save me from the shelter's deathly fog. He's got my eyebrows, he's got my nose. So now I goes wherever he goes. There he goes now. Ain't that one fine young
Has your dog Maisie actually heard the song about her?
It's interesting. Maisie sort of perks her ears up when she hears the morning edition or weekend edition theme. Because she's heard me play it on the piano. So it's kind of confusing to her. It's coming out these speakers, and yet I'm nowhere near the piano. I'll tell you, I have to offer this. There's one other thing that I really like about my album, and I have to give credit to my producer, Eric Serafin, a.k.a. Mixer Man, who I was lucky enough to meet about a year after he had moved from California, where he was a veteran producer and engineer on many big-name bands. He and the Randall Bramlett Band and all the other Asheville musicians that are on it, they put this life into it. You know, this is maybe a generational thing with me, okay, my age, meaning what a lot of what's happening now is very polished. It sounds sonically perfect. But as far as the song itself, it's too much of it is so predictable to me, or loop-based, loopy. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't sound like a band in a room playing. And my album sounds like it's got this energy. It's got this punch. It, you know, it's no Asia, but it's in a class by itself when you're talking about this stuff in the mainstream world today. And I think it's going to stand out splendidly for that.
Yeah, I was listening to the song Pray, and just the performance, and it's a really cool tune, but I love the performance of you and the band on that one. It sounds like a band just really having fun, and it doesn't sound like, okay, now let's layer on this instrument. Now let's layer on that instrument.
You got it right. You're spot on. In fact, after the song is basically over, it's a short three-verse song that I wrote when, I don't know which Gulf War started, and I was, you know, in a tizzy, so I had to write something. But after the verses are over, you think the song is basically over, but then I looked over through the glass at the band, and I, you know, gave them the sign, keep going, keep going, and we sort of boil this thing up to a fever pitch, just jamming, killing it, until it, you know, dissolves under its own weight in a most beautiful way.
You've mentioned this is your first and last album. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
How come?
I don't think I'm going to live very long.
You never know.
I would love to see the look on your face right now.
Well, my first response was going to be like, this interview isn't that bad, is it?
Oh, no. What I meant by that is when you get to be my age, you do have a sense of more of a sense of your own mortality. And, you know, every day I think that today is a good day to die. I hear that running through my head. But most of all, it was a lot of work, man. It was so much work. Eric Mixer Man worked me to death. And, you know, singing this thing, almost my larynx almost flew out of my mouth and hit the wall on the other side of the studio. I don't know how John Lennon sang Twist and Shout, you know. He was reports that he was bloody after he sang that. Well, I get it now. Some of my songs are real screamers. I think a lot of people are going to listen to this stuff and shake their heads and go, no, this cannot be the same guy that did our beloved little Weekend Edition and Marketplace. And wait, don't tell me. What happened? Did he take acid?
But you did. How long did it take? I guess in a way it took decades, right? Because you've got like the instrumental stuff with Bayless from decades ago.
Well, actually, the song, yeah, those tracks were done decades ago, and some of the songs were written decades ago. But I'm telling you, most of my friends are sick to death of hearing me say I'm doing an album. And so when the UPS man came, you know, a couple of weeks ago with the boxes of CDs to my house, I was sitting on my front porch and I just watched him take these crates of CDs out and thought, okay, is this the end of something or the beginning of something? But it's something I finished. The reason I say I'm not going to do a second album, I'll do more songs, but I'll probably put them out one at a time, or, you know, an EP collection of three together or something more expansive. I mean, after a while here, I won't be so afraid to put more of my message in my music. So I foresee, I mean, I'd be an idiot not to do an expanded, extended version, you know, something that's 30, 35 minutes long, one piece that has to do with Donald Trump and the status of our country and what's happening and what is going to happen. When I was I don't know how old I was, but when Watergate was happening, I wrote a Watergate rock opera, about 7 or 8 cuts. It's quite funny to listen to some of that, but didn't go anywhere because I didn't do anything with it.
Did you have a name for this?
Yeah, I think it was called Watergate, the rock opera. You know, like this is called BJ the album, Jaws the movie. I can't name these things what I want to name them, you know?
Yeah, then you would heard from Nixon's lawyers, you know, if you'd have really played around with it.
Oh, I was on the enemies list because when I was going to Virginia Tech, I was in the, oh, I'm sorry. I think you're going to be the first news organization to break this little gem. I was in the first group of streakers. Kids, if you don't know what streaking is, if you're not doing it, it's fun, but look it up. And we were political streakers. So I had all this, you know, all these messages on flags and stuff about Nixon. It was 1973, 74. I found out later that I was not on his enemies list, but I was being surveilled. And I think I'm being surveilled to this day. Well, I can't watch a show like Homeland without the hairs on the back of my neck standing up on end, you know, and I'm looking in every corner of my house to see where they put the cameras.
Maybe they saw something they liked in 73. I don't know.
they wanted a reprise. They wanted a new version. Oh, I love that.
Well, Knoxville, you know, you may not know, is like a streaking capital. It was very, very popular for streaking in the 70s. I'm not sure how political it all was because they were giving away free cases of beer if you would come in naked and get it.
I'm glad to hear that because our main tour, our main track, if you will, to streak was there was a McDonald's next door, so we'd streak across the street, go in one door and out the other. You'd never seen so many people drop their Big Macs.
So to speak. Now, as a longtime follower of your Twitter feed, which is always entertaining and occasionally has some links to things I never knew existed, I do know you're a huge Beatles fan. Do you have, when push comes to shove, do you have a favorite Beatles track that just really floors you to this day?
It's a real tough one, but I know that people would be asking me this, so I did hone it down to one. It's sort of an offbeat track that I don't think many people who are not Beatlemaniacs have heard at all, and it's called Hey Bulldog. It was originally put out on the Yellow Submarine soundtrack, but the thing beside it being a hell of a piano, rocking piano track, and there is a video, a film of John and Paul huddled around a mic singing the vocal to that. You can find that up on YouTube. It has got one of the best, if not the coolest, guitar solos. I think George plays it, but you know, like most of these things, it could have been Paul. And it's just so much fun. It's so much energy. And then, of course, you know, for dessert, I'll take You Know My Name, Look Up the Number.
Are you happy with your record? Is it like having a baby? I mean, how did you feel when it popped up there on your doorstep and you took it out and you cradled it in your arms?
It's a strange thing. I have a painting. It's a portrait that my best friend's father painted of me when I was 4 years old. And it's hanging on one of my walls in a very nice non-glare glass frame. And I took one of the CDs out of the box and walked it over there and stuck it in the lower right-hand corner and stepped back and went, okay, that was then, this is now. It's funny, I'm really not feeling like it's like giving birth and this is, you know, a big, huge thing. I'm getting some really good healing out of the fact that I actually finished it. And in fact, if I hadn't met Eric Serafin, I probably would not have finished it yet, because I realized once I hired him, you know, he said, look, if you hire me, this is my record, basically. And I said, yeah, that's one of the things I have to learn here. I've been micromanaging this stuff and producing it myself, and it's not up to what I think it should be. So I handed it to him. I got out of my way. I got out of his way. You know, and he promised me you'll have an album in 3 months, and lo and behold, we did. And then we did, you know, some overdubs and my vocals, and we mixed, and there you have it. I have to tell you, I just got back from D.C. and New York. Beth Parker, my wonderful PR person, has gotten me on a publicity tour even before the album came out. And boy, this stuff is not for... It's not for old guys. You know, I'm no spring chicken anymore. I think I drove 1,000 miles and walked 100 miles just to get from this train to that plane to this place to that place. It is a crazy business, but I love my job now. I really do. Today I did, I don't know many of you know what Reddit is, but they have a thing called Ask Me Anything, and they asked me to be a part of that, so I just did that today. That was kind of interesting. So it's a whole new life that's flowering out for old Beej.
And now you're a resident of Asheville, North Carolina. How do you like living there?
Oh, Asheville's grand. Asheville's great. Don't come to Asheville. No, come enjoy. It's everything that they've said it is and more. I just love the vibe here. Whenever I go away to wherever it is, even my hometown of Virginia Beach, Norfolk, Virginia Beach, Hampton Roads area. And I drive back, as soon as I get within about 75 miles of Asheville and start seeing the mountains, the weight just sort of melts off my shoulders and my breathing gets deeper. And fewer and farther between. And I just, I'm not trying to be hippy-dippy about it here, but there's something going on here. There's something going on in this town that's special. And I know it's the people. I finally realized what the word community means, a sense of community. I didn't know much about that in many of the other places that I've lived, but you sure feel that here.
Well, B.J. Lederman, it's so great to talk to you, and we wish you great success with your new recording, which is called B.J.
And I wish you'd go out and buy it on the various places you can download and buy things, because, you know, I can't do anything else. So, you gonna go out with one of my favorite songs?
Yeah. What was it going to be?
I got a question today. B.J., what do you listen to other than your own music? Well, today my favorite bands are XTC, Crowded House, Steely Dan, those type of things. I think XTC is if the Beatles had all stayed alive and had gotten back into the studio, you know, in today's studio, with today's technology, I think you would have gotten what the last four albums of XTC sounds like. So, Stupidly Happy is cool. Peter Pumpkinhead is great. Any of those. Or if you're going to play a Crowded House tune, if it's Crowded House, I'd go with It's Only Natural off of Woodface. I aspire to sound like that.
Well, you've given me some lovely options here, but I think I'm going to go with XTC's Peter Pumpkinhead, one of my all-time favorite songs. Our esteemed guest, B.J. Lederman, his new recording was called something else, but now it's called B.J., and it's available in places where people acquire things. This is WUOT. I'm Todd Steed. Thanks to B.J. Lederman. Here's XTC.
Around, fed the storm.
Thank you for listening to this WUOT podcast. To support this type of programming, you can go to our website and donate online. Go to WUOT.org and look in the upper right-hand corner for the donate button and press it and see what happens.